Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Did you ever find Bugs Bunny attractive when he'd put on a dress and play a girl bunny?
No.
Neither did I. I was just asking.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Did we lock you in a dumpster one time?
I got out.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
That's somebody's daughter
up there. I was just going to say that.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Dynamite drop in money. And broadcast school has really paid off.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Second hour, Dirt and Sprague on The Fan. There's a Joe Exotic Disney musical theme song created. My little brother just sent it to me. Might have to forward this one off and pull this audio.
Joe Exotic just won't go away. Did you see somebody did an interview with him? He said, sure would be nice to be able to see how famous I am, not from jail. Like right when he reaches his fame and popularity, he's just behind bars.
He's such an a-hole, but God, it's... Yeah, I don't know.
Carol Baskin,
that bitch. All right, we have a lot to get to in the second hour. I thought of the idea a couple days ago, and I think it could be something fun that we do. Creating a sports question, random, doesn't matter what sport. I don't even care. We can talk hockey, and I'll dive into an argument on hockey.
Okay, I'm all for that. Let's go.
Does not matter what I do or do not know. It's all in good fun. You created the question today, and it's one I think many people have long wondered for certain players. But in the NFL, what current or former player would have benefited most if they would have been on a different team?
I think the easy answer, and it's the one that we're going to get most, so I'm not going to give it, but I'm just going to throw it out there, is Barry Sanders.
Oh, you think I don't think he would be most.
Really? I think Barry Sanders is number one for a lot of folks.
I think it'd be Dan Marino.
Dan Marino's another one that you're going to see a lot of because
that people would vote for.
Right. After his early days in Miami, the team wasn't ever that great necessarily around him. I thought of one, though, that maybe is a little off the beaten path that is one of the more legendary players in NFL history, considered one of the greatest of all time at his position. And it wasn't like the team was just awful year in and year out.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put it in a context that they never won a playoff game while he was there, and they only went 1-2 twice, I believe, during his career, Tony Gonzalez. Tony Gonzalez, I think you can make an argument, is the best tight end in the history of the NFL.
Now, he did get to an NFC Championship game with the Falcons.
He did. He had to chase a ring late in his career in Atlanta.
Yeah.
But I was more so thinking of he wasn't the same player then, and I believe that was his last. We played 1 or 2 years in Atlanta. I can't remember how many it was. But that was at the end when he went and they lost to the 49ers in the NFC title game.
Mm-hmm.
They only went, he got there in 1998 to Kansas City. They had a handful of the best record they had. They had 1 year where they were 13-3. Every other year other than that, they didn't win more than 9 games. They only made the playoffs in 2003 and 2006, and they lost in the divisional round the first time, and they lost in the wild card round of the Colts in 2006. Never won a playoff game over a decade, and he was arguably and is arguably one of the best tight ends in the history of the league. If you put him, I mean, just run through the best offenses of those eras. He gets drafted in Denver in the late 90s. If he goes to the Rams and is a part of that offense in the early 2000s, he's already considered one of the greats.
Yeah.
But you put him on an elite Super Bowl contending team year in and year out, I think the opinion's different.
I think if you try to go a little outside the box, I'm going to go, and look, I've always defended this guy. Why? I don't know. When I watch him, I think he's legit as good as any quarterback we've seen. Sans a couple great years from certain guys, mm-hmm. for largely a decade. Now, he's not at that level anymore, and maybe he'll have one more go-round, but mine's always been Philip Rivers.
Philip Rivers, huh?
Yeah. because I'm one that believes Philip Rivers is a better player than Eli Manning. And I know not everything is going to equal the same thing. If he's a giant, it doesn't mean they win two Super Bowls.
Right.
But in a similar situation where you have that pass rush, you have some decent, and he had some decent weapons in his life. Antonio Gates was no bum, right? And
LaDainian Tomlinson
was no bum. But in the 1 year that they had their best run, it was the year LaDainian Tomlinson couldn't give it a go in the AFC Championship game. And he came off of ACL surgery.
Yeah.
So he was always one that...
That's a big what if.
He's kind of the... He's the impact of one player demanding to not be in a certain market, and he's the throw-in guy. You know, he was the second guy because the Giants clearly wanted Eli.
Right.
He didn't want to go to the Chargers. The Chargers had a dilemma, so they did that trade. But I found him to be better than Eli in his career.
It's amazing how many Detroit Lions are getting texted in, because Barry Sanders is an obvious one. Calvin Johnson is another one that people are chiming in. If you put Calvin Johnson in, if he's drafted in New England, right? I mean, you could do that with a lot of guys, but you're talking
Herman
about
Moore is another one that I always thought
Moore back in the day. Yep. There's no doubt about that. Even we have some people texting in Matt Stafford is a guy who statistically has always been a good quarterback, but he plays for the Detroit Lions. Therefore, there's going to be limitations. The one of a current player, and I'm curious to see how his career unfolds and where it goes from here. And we've talked about him a bit this offseason, but probably more so than any other current player, I feel this way about Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
The way he's
handled it. You don't want it to turn into that.
You don't want it to get to that point where you look back and you just think, man, what a waste. What an incredible talent, but they never were structured well as an organization. They never gave him the coach that he deserved. They traded his best offensive weapon, never gave him a great offensive line. They traded away draft picks. Like they just bungled the chance to win with a really good quarterback in this league.
You know, one that I saw, and you can't change the actions, but I saw Lamar Jackson had recently said he thinks Mike Vick is a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are writing about that and saying, oh, he's not a Hall of Famer. But we saw good, great Mike Vick. Do you think if he doesn't go to Atlanta and he goes to a different situation, anything changes? Or do you think he's largely still the same player?
It's interesting. That's an interesting one.
Because, I mean, he was really good and they won. I mean, they were consistent. They weren't a great title contending type team, but they were that next tier that, the Falcons will be in the playoffs.
They were. They won at Lambeau. I think were they the first team to ever win a playoff game at Lambeau? He went in there and ran all over them. They went to an NFC title game and they lost to Philly. You also think, too, of his tenure there. He started with Dan Reeves, and I can't remember how many years Dan Reeves was there, but that was a respected head coach in the NFL, a guy who had taken Atlanta to the Super Bowl a couple of years previous before he got there. And then they brought in Jim Mora Jr., who, I think we know how. I think we can label him the kind of coach that he was. That was their answer. So that was the other coach that he played for. And then the rest of it's history because of the dogfighting. But that's a unique one, as if he would have been under a coach that was more, because he was already dynamic enough. But if you put him with a forward-thinking offensive mind that ran more of a modern offense with Michael Vick, how much better could he have been?
Yeah, Quincy Carter.
Quincy Carter? Yeah. Legendary Quincy Carter.
Did you guys mention Calvin Johnson?
Calvin Johnson's been thrown at, yeah.
As Dirt's pointing out, it's largely Detroit Lion players.
A lot of Detroit Lion players.
It's remarkable how god-awful they've been for as long as they've been awful, and they've had all of these players.
If you want to go on the Wayback Machine, Archie Manning on those god-awful Saints teams back in the 70s.
That was the grocery bag wearing Saints fans and stuff.
So people are texting in AJ Green, which I agree with as well, because they were good enough to get to the playoffs, but it was always the Bengals. It's the Bengals.
AJ Green was paired with Tom Brady.
Right.
What? Yeah.
But see, with Aaron Rodgers in the mid-2000s in Green Bay. Yeah.
They had a playoff game where he'd be hurt, and then they had a playoff game where Dalton was hurt. Like, they had some inconsistencies. It wasn't just five straight trips. They lost all five. It was 1 year he was hurt, 1 year Dalton's hurt.
I feel that Andrew Luck is an interesting one. That's more of an ownership thing, because I feel like, for the most part, he's had good coaching in his career.
I mean, they were pretty successful.
Who was the coach? Was it Pagano? And then he got hurt, or he had cancer, and then Arians.
Did he come in with Caldwell, or was it Pagano?
It might have been Caldwell first, and then I know Pagano got sick, and then they hired Arians as their interim guy, and then it moved to, what's their coach's name now?
Oh, Reich.
Yeah, Frank Reich, thank you. So that one's an interesting one. One other one, and this is, you kind of forget about him, but a local tie-in. What about Steven Jackson?
Yeah, Steven Jackson was,
because he went to the Rams after
he missed the greatest show on turf.
He was a couple of years after that, and I want to say they only made the playoffs like once in his entire time.
They were a pretty irrelevant team after that run ended. The greatest show on turf,
like the one year that they went, I think it was the year that it was like a 500 or below 500 team, and they had to play Seattle in like week 17 to get in. They might even have lost that game. I can't remember. But he got there in 2004. He had 1,000-yard seasons in 05, 06, 07, 08, 09, 10, 11, 12. That many straight 1,000-yard seasons, and then went to Atlanta after that.
I draw a line, but I've played this game before where I go to the main position, and I think how many quarterbacks' careers were just ruined going to the worst possible situations.
Quarterbacks are the prime example of it, because they're the most reliant on having competent leadership and talent around them. And some can, you know, Philip Rivers is a good, you know, Dan Marino can have a great career, but there's limitations on what you can accomplish at that position. But it's amazing what going to the right organization does for your legacy. I mean, it changes everything. The example that I'll always use in baseball, Derek Jeter is a tremendous player. He's a Hall of Fame player, but he is talked about the way he's talked about because he was drafted by the Yankees. If Derek Jeter is drafted by the Baltimore Orioles or the Detroit Tigers, and he has the same statistical career without, what did he win, 5 World Series rings? He's not in the same conversation that he is. He's Derek Jeter because he played for the New York Yankees.
He's probably Todd Helton.
Right? Yeah.
Todd Helton was a really good player.
Yeah, who, by the way, I think is in jail right now for a DUI. Fun fact.
Yeah, I just saw that. His name just popped in my head because I just read that story.
Yeah, but Todd Helton's in the
Todd Helton's a player, was really good, right? 3,000 hits, lifetime Rocky.
Todd Helton was a great Major League Baseball player.
That's basically how we would view Jeets if
he just was in Denver.
Right?
There's a difference. So it's, you know, and some, it's, the analogy works for a lot of NFL players, of guys that you just go to the right spot. You're a great player, but you win because of the team around you, and it ups your profile.
Steve Largent was,
Steve Largent's a good one.
Thrown on there on our Facebook post. I put this on the Facebook. I was just curious where people on Facebook would go.
I mean, what did the Seahawks accomplish when he was there? Anything of significance?
Before Holmgren, they literally didn't do anything.
Didn't do much.
Yeah. They were on the other end of the Bo Jackson run.
They were. They had the Boz.
They had the Boz. And then they had Rick Meyer. And then it didn't go well.
Yep.
It did not go well. All right. We'll have a sports question tomorrow. Somebody put in on the Facebook post. Somebody put Walter Payton.
Walter Payton won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Pretty good.
The Bears were pretty good there in the mid-80s. Pretty good team, too.
Not bad. All right. Coming up next, quarantine. Great for the weed business. That's next on The Fan. It's better to burn out. I bet you could have guessed that weed sales have gone up substantially in Portland.
Smoking the hippie lettuce more now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the latest was on Oregon Live. I saw an article yesterday.
It's a good lead-in with a Neil Young song to talk about weed.
Let's dive in, huh? Yeah, I saw an article on the Oregon Live website, and it basically said that they made a ton of money in marijuana sales right before the quarantine and the whole shelter-in-place stuff.
Now, this might be a dumb question. Can they deliver?
Yeah.
Can they? Okay, I didn't know that.
Chalice Farms, I'm just using one I've seen. They've been advertising that they're delivering.
So you just, like an Uber Eats kind of thing, you just call up your local weed dealer and they drop it off at your front door?
Kind
of,
yeah.
Okay, well, that's not a bad little deal right there if you're looking for a little extra lettuce.
How much more have you smoked or drank during quarantine, if you're being really honest?
My alcohol consumption is up, I'm not going to lie. I had a health goal this year, and I'm still maintaining somewhat, but I was really good about not drinking from January through March. I cut way down outside of a couple of special occasions. I had basically eradicated it from my normal routine. That has changed now that I'm stuck in quarantine day in and day out. I'm not going to lie to you. The consumption's back up again.
Yeah, because I'm wondering, I know a lot of people are trying to stay healthy and not eat, but like I've even had plenty of days where I'm like, oh my God. I've just been snacking all day.
Right. You just keep eating or you keep drinking.
Am I just eating because I'm bored?
Yeah. It's like somebody used the analogy. I can't remember who it was. Basically saying quarantine life is like life in Vegas, where there's just kind of no rules and you eat whenever you want. You start drinking at weird times throughout the course of the day. That's been the one thing, though. I've tried to maintain normalcy in my drinking hours, that I'm not like on a Saturday opening a bottle of wine at 9:30 in the morning. Like, I'm trying to at least maintain some normalcy until dinner time or later on in the evening, because I don't want to go down that road yet.
Yeah, we had $84 million in weed sales in March.
That's a lot of weed.
$84 million in 1 month.
In 1 month, huh? What's the tax rate on that? What are we getting on a kickback?
Oh, let me dive into the article real quick.
Yeah, see if there's a number on that. I'd be curious. But I'd imagine that most people's consumption numbers are up just because you're running out of things to do and you find yourself sitting around the house at the end of the day. I'm doing this right now because I threw it out on Twitter and Swagar brought a bottle in for me. I'm excited to try it. But I wanted to support, because we support a lot of good local breweries. Pelican's our favorite, and I drink a ton of Pelican. But I want to do the same thing with wineries. There's a lot of smaller kind of mom and pop ones in the state. And so I threw it out on Twitter last night just saying, hey, where should I go? I just want to buy a case and just have one, because I think a lot of wineries are delivering, or you can go pick up certain spots around the city. I don't mind driving to go pick up if I have to. But and I had a lot of great suggestions chimed in, so I'm curious to kind of try a few and we'll see what tickles my fancy and then buy a case to support a local winery.
Swag mentioned it is National Beer Day, so there you go. You got to drink on a holiday.
It's a perfect day for an outside beer, too.
So March,
it's almost 70 today.
March was up 37% this time from where they were last year in yeah. Weed sales.
Not bad.
You know what I've taken? By the way, it was a Willamette Weekly article, not Oregon Live, so sorry. I've taken kind of a weekend approach. So, you know, you get home, you do your whole routine. The kids are there now every day. Mm-hmm. You're kind of locked into your own thing. I don't know why, but my mentality towards like 6 or 7 o'clock, right around the time that hits, I'm just kind of taking a weekend approach.
Yeah.
So like I'm doing some show stuff. I'm always looking. We're always thinking of guests. We're trying to give you great shows while we're all doing quarantine. But I'm also like going to bed at 1. I'm like, well, I'll wake up at 7.
Right.
It is what it is.
I got nothing to wake up for tomorrow.
Yeah, if I want to have 2 or 3 cocktails, right. I'm going to have 2 or 3 cocktails. If I want to puff on the Oregon lettuce, I'm going to puff on the Oregon lettuce.
I'm going to enjoy myself.
Yeah. I'm kind of, every night, like I sit down to watch TV or a movie with the wife, there's kind of this, I don't know, like this Saturday or Friday vibe. Every day.
You. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
That makes any sense.
Yeah, some nights I'll end up going to bed at a normal time and you wake up at a normal time, and then other nights you'll look up and you'll be like, oh, look at that. It's 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the morning. It's a Wednesday. I'm still up. All right, I guess I'll be okay tomorrow.
I haven't done enough research into this study, but right now I've been logging about 7 to 7.5 hours of sleep a day.
That's a pretty good number.
That's up about 2.5 hours a day for me.
Look at that. There's a healthy benefit of quarantine life.
So maybe using more substances is helping somewhat.
It's helping you pass out at an earlier hour. You're just snoring at 9:30.
I have more energy when I work out.
That's true. If you get a little more sleep, it helps you out in that regard. Mm-hmm. You wake up feeling a little refreshed every single day. Especially if the weather continues like this too. I spent Sunday organizing and cleaning out the garage and cleaning off the patio, putting the patio table out. All the furniture is out for us now.
Yeah.
So I'm throwing on stuff on the grill at 6. We're sitting outside. You know, sometimes you eat inside now. There's no point because it's nice out. So we're eating dinner outside every night. Like, dude, I'm just going to be out there kicking my feet up, having a cocktail at 7, 8 o'clock at night.
So I've largely stayed away from cleaning my garage the way I want to. I have a lot of stuff that I just, quite frankly, I need to load up and take to the dump. When you say you clean your garage, is that what you mean? Are you taking stuff to a dump?
I have not. I have a pile of things. Like, that's the only unorganized section of my garage. It's like a little 5x5 pile of garbage bags and crap that I need to take to the dump or take to Goodwill that I just haven't done yet because I don't know what the protocol is on that right now.
I don't know either, and I just haven't.
Dump is open.
Okay.
Dump is open. Okay.
Goodwill, Salvation Army, you need to contact them because the normal drop-off sites aren't there. They're telling people we're not having our workers come in. They're protecting their workers. So I don't know if, because the Salvation Army used to be able to call and they say, we're going to have a truck coming through your neighborhood on such and such a day. I don't know if they're still doing that. So you'd have to call them to find out. But I know because there's a Goodwill like right across the street where we used to just take stuff, and they're like, big signs everywhere, cones out in the little drive-through. Don't dump your stuff here.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if I was Goodwill, I wouldn't want to take clothes or anything right now. Yeah. I don't know where it came from, who touched it.
So, yeah, I'm just holding on to it. I just got that. I'm just going to keep building. And I haven't cleaned out the rest of the house yet either, so I have more bags of stuff that I want to add to it. And then hopefully once, like, June rolls around, I'm just going to let that pile build up, and I'm going to throw it all away at the same time.
But I went to the Metro transfer site down on just off Highway 30 near the St. John's Bridge. There was, like, two people there. You drive up, go on the scale.
You went all the way to the St. John's Bridge?
It's not that far down Germantown Road.
Yeah, I guess that's true. You take the back way. That the closest place for you?
Yeah. There's something out in Forest Grove, and then the other one's in Oregon City, the transfer site out there off the 205 exit.
Yeah, dude, come dump your stuff in our city.
Yeah, dump your stuff down here, man. Go throw your stuff away over there. Somebody said I manage a dispensary out in Hillsboro. We've been way busy.
Yeah. I went in there right before the quarantine stuff. I loaded up on stuff I wanted, like the essentials for me. And when I got in there, it was pretty packed.
Now, I'm assuming the social distancing stuff is working in places like that as well, or like one at a time going in? Because this guy says he owns a dispensary and he's disappointed in the everyday regulars that are still coming in every day.
Well, the everyday regulars need to load up and stop doing that.
You gotta buy in bulk, man.
Yeah, buy in bulk so you don't have to go. That's what I did. When I went to both the liquor store and the other store, social distancing wasn't really a thing. Okay. Although, I will say, it felt like people were being... feeling is really hard to describe, but it felt like people were being more conscious of how they were lining up to pay.
Given a little bit of space at least.
Yeah, and I haven't been there in a few weeks, so I don't know, but like I'd imagine there's people going in there with face masks now.
I mean, so working from home has increased my weed and alcohol intake. Speaking of which, I'm out of greens right now. Another one I tell myself every morning I'm not going to drink today. 8 p.m. rolls around and I've got two beers deep and watching Netflix.
See, yeah, there's I get it. Like health-wise, I think that's a great approach. I'm not, I'm going to take a day off. And that's cool if you can or you can't. Man, if you end up having a cocktail or a beer by 8 o'clock, just enjoy it. Whatever's going to make me not get to the breaking point. Because I'm largely okay. I like being at my house. I have everything I can need.
Well, and we're also leaving the house every day to come into the office.
Yeah, we're fortunate to have a place that's,
we're not sitting in around for 24 hours a day.
But I am on the weekends. I'm not going anywhere on the weekends. Are you going stir crazy on weekends? Because I'm not, but we're also still taking a family walk. We're still trying to break it up.
Doing the golf show, obviously golf, the industry's still going, so we're... having as many people on, trying to explain to people, okay, this is what's still open. This is what you need to be conscious of. This is what you can do, what you can't do sort of stuff. So I still get up early. But, yeah, if I don't have a project or something to keep me occupied for a fair portion of the middle of the day,
right?
I'm going, so last Saturday I got home from the golf show. I took the stuff to the dump. I finished. I got the garage done Sunday. Then I was, I was Traegering all day, just cooking stuff with fridges loaded, that sort of thing. But yeah, if I don't have something to occupy a portion of the day by about 12 or one, I'm just pacing.
This is why you need to learn the trombone again. It's something to do.
And I would be drinking a ton more if I wasn't so close to getting to my weight goal right now, where it's like, all right, I got like 5-6 pounds to go. Let's just get there.
That quarantine could be an excuse to not get there.
I don't want it to be. I got the rowing machine is on order. It's supposed to be delivered this week. Hey, so
I need to put a squat rack in already. I keep talking about that
back there.
I need to order it already.
Yeah.
But this is the dilemma with the dump. I didn't know if I could take stuff to the dump.
Yeah, get your squats in the garage, man.
All right. Well, marijuana sales are up here in the state of Oregon. $84.5 million in the month of March.
Yeah, I think everybody needs their distractions. I find myself going in and out of loops of like 33% of the time you're panicking and freaking out. 33% of
you're
the time.
You're that high of freaking out right
no,
now?
No, not freak out, but just like you dive into some news stories and then you kind of get roped into that mode where you're reading on it and you're not encouraged or you're worried about what you're reading. 33% of the time I do a pretty good job of I feel like being positive and having a good outlook on things. And then like the other 33%, I just try and forget everything that exists. Like I did that all weekend. I didn't watch any news, didn't read anything. We did stuff around the house, exercise, played golf. It felt a little more normal, as normal could feel right now. And it was good to just get away from everything. And I feel like I'm cycling in and out of those three right now.
I've noticed it with some people in my life of getting to that point of cracking a little bit. And I had one person today. He was joking mainly, but he's largely been home quarantine, and it's where my kids are. And he said, you know, world might be ending, but man, is it beautiful today. I thought, what?
Yeah, wait, what?
World's ending?
Now the world's ending, huh?
But I can see how it can feel that way if you're home a lot.
Yeah, the sympathy there is for the folks who, A, have lost their jobs throughout this, and there's a lot of them out there.
Without a doubt.
And then the people, I do feel sympathy for the folks who are working from home day in and day out, because I've said that for the last 2 weeks we've been able to do the shows, or however long this has been now. There is a sense of normalcy of getting up, getting dressed, even though we're wearing basketball shorts and t-shirts every day now, but we're getting out of the house, we're coming into the office, even though it's for only a couple hours a day, it's still getting us out and moving around. There would be a serious cabin fever kind of mode if you were just sitting around your house, opening up your laptop and working from home every day.
I have a listener text. I don't know if he didn't say don't read this on the air, and there's no name to it.
Okay.
Just had a company Skype call. I am furloughed till May 11th. Do I tell the wife? That's a listener asking us.
Furloughed till May 11th.
I would. I don't know. This is not to put any pressure on anybody else's relationship, but in my house, I've already told my wife, I'm like, I could be fired in 2 weeks. I really don't know what's going on.
It's about a month, little over a month.
Yeah. That's not fun news to tell, but,
but
I would share it.
You have to. I don't understand why you wouldn't.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not seeing the benefit of.
Yeah, maybe you don't want to. You got to worry about people worrying right now, right? Like that's, you don't want to.
I understand that, but I'm always of the opinion that more information is better than none. Like, okay, let's worry about the things that actually need to be worried about, not guessing or making things up to worry about that aren't there.
I guess the encouraging thing would be the furlough is like, I'll be back.
Yeah, if that's the news and they bring it back on May 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not as bad as it could be.
I would.
I would say something. I think you should.
Yeah.
Especially if you were one that was going into the office and now you're not going into the office anymore. I think it's going to raise a couple of eyebrows. Like you're just walking around the house. Don't you got to go to work today? Nah, take the day off. Oh, okay.
No, what you do is you get in the car, you go to a parking lot and you get some fast food and you sit in your car for like 4 hours.
There you
like,
go.
Hey, it was an early day from the office today.
Hey, just go listen to our show in like a McDonald's parking lot every day and then you go home. It's not a bad idea.
Whatever it takes, man. Whatever it takes. All right, we got a lot more to get to. Dr. Drew is a douchebag. We got the mail sack to get to today, our Blazer bracket. But up next, it's NFL true or false. We count it and turn it
back. Welcome back in, 133. Hope your Tuesdays are going well. Yeah, we really pissed off a Seahawk fan.
Why?
Way to go, Sprague.
God. What did I do?
What is the matter with you? You ready for this one?
Is this a text?
This is a text, yeah.
When did we talk about the Seahawks today?
This pertains to a couple segments ago. The 12s did not originate with Mike Holmgren.
Oh, just stop. I don't care anymore.
Seahawks were one of the funnest teams of the 1980s. They had the Kingdom rocking. Swigard, easy.
He's reading.
Okay. They had the Kingdom.
No, that's for the text.
The Kingdom was rocking. Teams hated coming there. Large and Kurt Warner, Dave Craig and co. had Seahawk fans going nuts. To summarize all their accomplishments in one sentence, the other end of a Bo Jackson run is insulting to the team, the players, and the Seahawks fans. If you don't remember or you were too young to know, then shut the hell up. They happened to play the Raiders very well, beating the championship Raiders 38-0 one year, sacking Plunkett around nine times in one game, and winning the division in a one-game showdown with the Raiders in 1988.
Was that in the championship where you beat the Raiders?
Why don't you stick that in your pipe and smoke it, Sprague?
Okay? How many playoff wins did they have?
God, so anti-Seahawk. I'm so tired of this anti-Seahawk sentiment on this show.
I know.
So tired of that stuff, okay?
I'm glad somebody was able to Google what they did in the 1980s to remind everybody they existed in the 1980s.
They did exist. Their uniforms are better back then, too. Is that a hot take?
Is Largent one of the guys who, if he had been on a different team?
Yeah, but that's how this all stemmed from. We brought that up in that segment. And
maybe that hurt his feelings that we said Steve Largent would have benefited if he wasn't in Seattle.
Let's see if we can make him any angrier. The next text says, the 12s originated at Texas A&M. Okay, let's get to the NFL true or false. What do we got today, Swigar?
Let's see. Hey, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers revealed their new uniforms for the 2020 season earlier today.
Are they new?
They're old.
They look
new.
Like they're the old, the early 2000s
ones.
I
didn't see too much. I thought they were going to go to the way back creamsicle swashbuckler.
They should.
And I would have been much happier.
The only new one I felt like, and it was the only one I didn't like, was the all black. I don't think they used to wear all blacks, did they?
Are they all black, or that was like a darker gray?
I thought they're all slate gray.
Yeah. Oh, okay, maybe it was a slate gray. I thought it should have been more of a charcoal-y. I don't know. I thought,
Anyway. I like them. They won a Super Bowl in those. Yeah.
True or false, Tom Brady's Tampa Bay jersey will be the most purchased jersey in 2020.
True. True. It's a, I think you're going to have a lot of non-Patriot Buck fans who just root for Tom Brady or great quarterbacks or great players in general will buy it. Buck fans will absolutely buy it. And I think even Patriot fans that appreciate and miss Tom.
No way they're buying a Buccaneers.
I really think some of them will.
No way.
Dude, you think in the 20-year run that they have,
no
he didn't way. Have his own fans outside of just Patriot fan?
Well, sure, maybe Tom Brady fans, but you said Patriot fans.
Yeah, because I think there are fans who legitimately love Tom as much, if not more, than their own team.
Do Niner fans own Joe Montana Chief jerseys?
Some of them do.
No way I would ever buy that as a fan.
They split it. M-O-N is in Chief. Tana is in Niner.
I'm going to say that this is false.
Okay.
I think that people are tired of Tom Brady.
Who's going to have a better jersey sale than him?
Some cool Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, kind of a younger, sexier guy that relates to the youth.
Tom was
fan.
Like two or three even when he was in New England for 20 years. You know that, right?
I think Buck fans will buy a lot of them, but there's not that many Buck fans. And I'm going to say this is false.
Wow.
I think this is true.
Buck fans going to text and piss at dirt now. We're going to piss off every team in the NFL.
Who's next?
No kidding. No, I think this is true. The novelty of it that combined with a brand new redesign of the uniform, I think it'll be berserk. Plus, I think people have a lot of time to sit around now. They're not going out to bars and they're not doing this. So once they put that out on the NFL shop, when I imagine the commercials are already ready to air during the draft, which leads us to our next true or false. The NFL preparing for a totally virtual draft later this month, but several teams now worried about the level of cybersecurity they need to conduct draft day business. True or false? There will be at least one team that fails to make a pick in the time allotted due to a technical issue.
This is for sure true.
This has got to be true.
Wasn't it the Vikings in the early 2000s that had a snafu with this, and that's when the draft was even in person? This is for sure going
to
happen.
So the Swag is alluding to it, and I just saw it again on Twitter from one of the national NFL reporters. Teams are starting to internally worry about this because they feel like they're not as ready for this draft as they could be. And I'll just tell you right now, one, really, you have all the tape from all these players. You've already had the combine. You can call or Skype these guys. It's no different than having them in person. I hope a lot of teams take advantage of these stupid teams who are worried right now. Take advantage of them, because clearly there's teams that are going to panic and make dumb trades or make dumb picks. Take advantage of that.
Is anybody else kind of rooting for chaos in this? Like for like a team to get hacked and like a Leroy Jenkins to come on and announce a random pick.
Over under two combo, dog or kid interruptions from a team.
Oh, I'll go over.
Or do you think they will mandate their families to be way the hell away from wherever they're doing their Skype in?
This is going to be so weird.
I think most of the GMs will be, at least for the first round, I think the first 2 days. Now, the third day, when it's 4 through 7 rounds, then chaos may ensue. But because I believe the first 2 days, it'll be, they might start it a little bit earlier. Rather, because I think they started at 5 o'clock, 4:30 or 5. They might start at 3 Pacific time in the afternoon.
They should just do one. They should do it for a week and do a round per day. We would watch it every day, wouldn't you?
No, I mean, I'd stop after the second round.
But yes, I believe
I'd probably go through 4. I'm not going to lie.
I believe this is true. That, there's going to be some glitch and the time will run out and then everybody will panic. It's also being reported HBO's Hard Knocks going to be a twofer this year, chronicling both the Rams and Chargers. They're supposed to move into SoFi Stadium. True or false, the Chargers QB battle will be the biggest draw for this edition of HBO Hard Knocks.
Well, I mean, this is just going to line up to be true because yet again, we're looking at a scenario where we don't think that there's going to be any live sports in the foreseeable future unless something drastically changes. So I will go right now with the view of this is true. It's also two teams. Way to get creative and go from the Rams 3 years ago to the Rams again.
Yeah, why do we got the Rams? I mean, I get it's not.
I'm not
Fisher
interested
anymore,
in the Rams.
But
I'm not interested.
I'm not either. I'm with you on that one. I don't find Sean McVay's interesting. You'll get a little backstory there. But remember, he was all over Hard Knocks last year because they had those joint practices with Oakland, and they told the backstory of him and Gruden and how he was on Hard Knocks way back in the day when he was like a assistant under Gruden in the late '90s.
Now, I'm guessing they're doing this.
This is reliant, though. Like, this question, to say true, is reliant on them taking a quarterback. Because if the Chargers don't take a quarterback, then there is no quarterback battle. And even if they take a quarterback, there might not be a quarterback battle.
There may not be one anyway.
But just the influx of a rookie quarterback.
Yeah. If they draft Herbert, I feel like it's going to be a we don't hear from him very much.
Yeah, I mean, he's not overly compelling.
He's trying so hard to be this outwardly loud, talkative guy right now because that's a negative for him. But reality is we see what he's like in Eugene for 4 years. He's might be a really good person behind the scenes.
Yeah, he has a great personality when cameras aren't pointed in his face.
I think when cameras are around, it changes him a little bit.
I'll say that this is false, though. Something else randomly will pop up. I'll go false.
I think the running back position for the Rams will end up being more compelling than the quarterback position. And I also think the reason they're picking these two LA teams isn't in the new stadium also an NFL Films.
Well, that stadium's not done.
So, yeah.
Well, that's part of
the problem.
Yeah. But I think at least in LA, you have.
That's where their hub's going to be,
though.
You
have production facilities all over the place so they can do it quickly if they need to. Finally, free agent defensive end Jadeveon Clowney is backing off from his initial salary demands. There are rumors of more teams entering the bidding that include the Browns and now the Jets. True or false, Clowney will end up signing a deal for no more than 2 years when he does eventually come to terms with an NFL team.
You know, I'd think about doing that if I was him. If he can't get this long-term 22-per-year deal.
Is he going to get it in 2 years, though? If he's going to be like 33, I think. How old is he now?
Is he 31?
I thought he was.
Maybe he's going to lead that long?
Let me look at it.
If you can play like a...
Yeah, no, I am 100% wrong. He's 27. So if he signed a two-year deal, he'll turn 27. He'll be 28, 20. So he'll be 30 by the time he gets free agency again on a two-year deal.
Hey, some players had to play with multi-years on the tag. If you could get 2 years, 16 to 18 a year, and then get another two-year deal where you get 16 to 18 a year, maybe that's the way you got to go about getting your big money contract. Because it doesn't appear today, and watch this happen right at 3 o'clock, that anybody's given him a four-year deal worth whatever he was aiming to get with fill-in-the-blank guaranteed. So maybe he has to play the short-term game to get the most money.
There's also reports today, saying it's a slim chance he goes back to Seattle. I don't really believe anything I read at this point around the NFL anymore, but I'm going to say that this is true. I think somebody's going to throw a little bit more money at him for a shorter-term deal. You don't want to be locked in long-term just because you don't know how good he's going to be in 3-4 years. But if I'm a team that needs a defensive end, am I willing to throw 2 years, $19 million or something like that at him? Yeah, probably. I think this ends up being true.
I think this is true as well. He'll probably take whatever the highest bidder is at this point, but he won't want a long-term deal so he can get back out there. Plus, two, if the new TV deals kick in, if they're negotiated here as the league wants and the salary cap goes way up, then he can pounce again.
By the way, the 1980 decade for the Seahawks, they averaged 7.5 wins.
Yes.
Real memorable.
I love how people get so offended by stuff like that. Somebody texted in, I watched the Seahawks in the 80s. They sucked.
There's nothing wrong with admitting your team sucked for a while. That's okay.
The Blazers have sucked for the better part of 20 years. I have no problem admitting that, nor do I get offended if you say that.
Hey, the Seahawks sucked, but I loved Joey Galloway. He was one of my favorite players to watch.
For sure he was, man. There's some legendary Seahawks from back in the day. There you go. NFL True or False every Tuesday at 1:30. Hey, we got the mail sack coming up in the final hour. Get your questions in 55305. We also will start unveiling our play-in matchups for the favorite Blazer of all time bracket. Those poll questions are all up. You can go vote on them at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. What do we make, though, of one sport trying to buy an island? How's this going to work out? Crunch time next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. All the members are temporarily closed, but they want you to continue working out, so don't sweat it. Over 100 free workouts available on their Crunch Live platform, which is free to all members. Just go to crunchlive.com. Get that workout on your phone, your TV, or your tablet. We got the mail sack coming up in the final hour, so get questions in, sports and non-sports related, 55305. We'll anger some people with a favorite Blazer of all time matchups. We'll get to those coming up here at the top of the hour. If you guys had enough money to buy a private island, would you want to fly dudes in to fight?
No.
No, that wouldn't be your idea to do with a private island?
No.
Dudes in spandex getting all sweaty and wrestling?
I would largely, if I'm rich enough, I supplied enough, I'd largely find an island great right now.
Okay. That would be kind of nice. Wouldn't have to worry about the Rona coming on shore.
I don't have to worry about dumb people freaking out and overreacting. I don't have to worry about watching the news or caring about the news. Only thing I need is the weather report.
Yeah, just kind of what are we looking like here? Can I go out on the water? Is it a fishing day? Do I got a storm coming in? I'm with you on that. You need to know what you're expecting day in and day out. Well, there's one man who is apparently close to buying an island, and that man is Dana White, who says that UFC is a day or two away from securing a private island. He told TMZ, I have a private island that I've secured. We're getting the infrastructure put in now, so I'm going to start doing the international fights too with international fighters because I won't be able to get international fighters into the U.S. I have a private island that I'm going to start flying them all in and doing international fights from there. So as of April 18th, the UFC is back up and running. I believe it is UFC 249. That is what's coming up on April 18th, and it's two international fighters. And this is apparently going to happen and take place. And he's flying them all in on private jets, and let's go.
I know nothing about the fighters, and I'm probably going to be watching this fight.
Are you going to buy this one?
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
So it's interesting because there's an article out there that says the logistics are maybe a little tougher than he's saying. Like, this is just easy. He said, we all have our own planes and everything. They're just going to fly into the island and get the fighters. But they also pointed out in the article saying, okay, well, it's going to be a 12-fight card. So that's 24 fighters that are all coming in. Their corner men, the production crew to air the thing on TV, because that's the biggest part of this. You want to make money. The referees, the judges, the UFC staff, and a catering crew, not to mention anybody else that may need to be there for security reasons or whatever the case may be on the island. Are we buying 100% that this is going to happen? There will be fights on a private island on April 18th.
This is a done deal.
It's a done deal?
It's a done deal. It's going to happen.
They're going to get the whole 12-fight card there?
I don't know if he'll get all 12, but he's for sure going to have some event go on. Like, if there's any commissioner or head of a league that doesn't give two rips about this stuff and doesn't subscribe to the theory of, hey, why don't you stay in your house and wait this out, it's absolutely Dana White. He had multiple conversations with the president because they're really good friends before the conference commissioner call. And then he was on that conference commissioner call, even though some people were like, why is UFC on this? This dude's going to make this happen. And if there's anything I've seen from UFC, not only have they surpassed boxing, but they've become this real, they've dug their own kind of brand, their own label into the sports world. And it's because of somebody like him. It's because he's relentless. It's because he works his ass off. He makes every fighter fight each other. He doesn't give two craps. If anybody's going to make this happen during coronavirus, it is 100% Dana White.
So this is the plot to Enter the Dragon. this is going to be wild. But I tend to be in agreement with you on Dana White. I wonder if in some of these quotes he's downplaying it just a hair on like how easy this is going to be, because he did that initially with the fight, and one of the fighters, who I believe is a Russian, ended up leaving the country. He flew back to Russia, and he was supposed to be a part of this initial UFC 249, but they couldn't tell him where the fight was going to take place, and he was like, dude, screw this, I'm going home. So they had to find somebody else to replace him. So he has remained optimistic the entire time. I wonder if this is their legitimate long-term plan, but if he's saying it's going to happen on April 18th, we'll see how many of the undercards end up taking place, because that would be 24 fighters, not to mention all the guys and staff that come in. There's a lot of testing that needs to take place to make sure that nobody coming in has the virus. Also, one positive test from somebody before April 18th can derail this entire thing, because that would create a whole nother set of problems of having to find another fighter to replace one of the fights, and you got to fly another guy in. So logistically, I think he is underselling how difficult this is all going to be to put on. And if it just comes down to having the title fight, then that's ultimately what matters most to him, because he wants to make the money.
Well, he wants to make money, and he's brilliant in the sense of, even people like me, I admittedly, I do not follow UFC on an every event basis. You said this is 249. I think I've seen like 12 to 13 of the 249 fights. There's some weekends I don't know the fighters. I'm lazy. I don't dig in and do the research, so I don't care. In a moment where we don't have anything, this could mean everything for some people. I think he's going to get a lot more people to buy this than normally would.
Even for sure buy it. If I'm sitting around on April 18th with nothing to do, I'm going to buy this fight.
Yeah, because I don't even really need to care about who the fighters are. In fact, going into it blind might be the best approach. What guy do I think is going to win based on appearance?
You can gamble on him, too.
And then what guy do I end up rooting for as soon as the first round starts?
Anthony texted, and I just parlayed three off of the card. Made me feel somewhat normal to gamble again. Somebody said Dana could just film it on his cell phone. Like, yeah, that's the whole, the production value of it is probably my biggest question of how many commentators are you flying in?
Like Kimbo Slice again, just recording somebody in an alley.
It's like a backyard brawl. How many people on the production crew, how many sound engine, like tech guys are you going to need there? Are you going to fly in the play-by-play guys? Are they broadcasting from somewhere else, from a facility?
You don't need any of that. If you can get 12 fighters or 12 fights set up.
Yeah, so 24 total fighters.
You only need one cameraman.
Only one camera guy?
Well, yeah, an in-ring guy. I don't care about, why do we care about the entrance? There's nobody there.
So you're just going to have one dude like walking around the ring from a ground floor?
Well, no, you can put a lot of fixed position remote cameras.
On the cage. You could do that too.
Have one that hangs over the ring.
You don't need as much as you think for UFC. You just build the, I don't even need announcers there. Make them watch it. The announcer thing has already been solved time and time again. Watch an NBA Summer League team. Most of the announcers are never at Summer League. They're always doing it either back home at a team facility or back home somewhere else doing it from a studio.
Yeah, that is true. And maybe they end up doing that. Would this make you watch UFC if you don't? 55305. I'm curious where people come on it. But yeah, he's buying an island. How about that? We've been hearing aggressive approaches from commissioners of different sports. This one probably the most aggressive yet.
Have you seen
an island?
Ronaldo? Have you seen his island?
No.
So he quarantined himself and his family on his island. And if you Google Cristiano Ronaldo's island, it's insane.
Is it?
I mean, that guy is not waking up worried at all about coronavirus right now.
He's just living the dream.
He's got a mansion that has everything in it. It's his island. He walks around, does whatever the hell good-looking people do. I wouldn't know. And he's living the life.
I saw one soccer player got in trouble for having a sex worker party.
Yeah, he was promoting people staying at home, and then behind the scenes in direct messaging, he was setting up hookers to come party and have orgies with him.
A bunch of hookers coming over to his house.
I like that the hookers are the ones that ratted him out. Like, really? Did you take the money?
Did they actually end up having the party, or was it just a plan to have the party?
I'm assuming that guy's already had a couple parties he set one up.
that's a good point. So Dana White's buying an island. That's where we're at in the world of sports. UFC's going to own an island, and there you go. We got a UFC island out there. Crunch Time is brought to you by Crunch Fitness. While they're temporarily closed, do not worry. Go get those workouts online at crunchlive.com and go find your login credentials at members.crunch.com/member/signup.
That's what they need to change the Hall of Fames to. Get it out of Cooperstown. Get it out of Canton. Just create islands.
You want a Hall of Fame island?
Hell yeah.
I'd be more likely to go to a Hall of Fame island than Canton, Ohio.
Like if the Baseball Hall of Fame was out of Cooperstown and they go, you know what? Maui is now Baseball Hall of Fame Island.
It's a Baseball Island.
You're going.
I'm going to that island.
You're incentivized now.
What's the beach scene looking like? We got a lot to get to in the final hour. Get your mail sack questions in. 55305 is a fan text line. We'll answer them coming up at 2:15, sports or non-sports related. But let's start with the favorite Blazer of all time bracket. We're not going to unveil the entire thing until we get through the play-in matchups. But we'll give it the play-in matchups. We'll ourselves vote on them. You can go vote at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. We'll start the final hour there next. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.